tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
morning, Hope Show listeners. I hope all of you out there have had a blessed week. I am happy that all of you have tuned into to the Hope Show today, and I'm happy to be out there among you, wherever or whatever you're doing. Shaziz chat rooms are open, so if you want to send me a message, I read them and I try to respond on breaks or at the end of the show, and I do enjoy reading each and every one of them. If you haven't yet noticed, that the second song I play each week pertains to what that day's message will be about. So in the future, when you listen to that second song, that will give you a clue as to what the message will be about that day. So today's message is about living a better life. I'm not talking about living a better life financially or collecting up more material things in life. I'm talking about something far more important, something on a much deeper level of existence. I'm talking about living a better life spiritually, in your soul, in your mind, the things that you don't have to go into debt to purchase. Have you ever been around someone you know, or even a stranger perhaps, and there's just something about them that draws you close like a magnet? You can't quite put your finger on it, but they seem to shine or light up their surroundings. You can immediately see that there is something different going on with them than the average person. So many people in this world are constantly busy, constantly stressed out, constantly wearing a frown, constantly seem to be unhappy in their lives, constantly seeking a new job, a new man or woman, constantly buying up better cars, better boats, better clothes, more, spend, as if that will be what makes them happy. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, folks. I'm not against people having goals, being successful, finding someone they truly love and can spend their life with, or having nice things around them, or even being able to financially afford to take those expensive vacations and things. What I am trying to say is that God wants us to prioritize things in our life. Many people have made a mess out of their lives by having the wrong priorities in life. You should be asking yourself, do I really need this? And fill in the blank. Do I really need this new gadget out on the market or whatever? Do I really need this? Or do I just really want this? I'm going to share something with all of you because today's message kind of follows along with the true life story about a single mom making a bad choice, and through God and the unexplainable love that this woman had for her child, found the courage to not give up and to become an overcomer. I had something going on in my life about 23 years ago, folks. Little did I know that it would cause me to go spiraling downward into a huge rabbit hole eventually. Without elaborating, let's just say I made a very poor and costly decision in my life. It cost me a family, a home, career, vehicle, and I lost myself in the process for a while. If not for my daughter, things would probably be much different in my life today. I give all the glory and credit first to God, and then secondly, my daughter. Though she was only 9 years old, God used her in a remarkable way to turn my life around. I hit rock bottom. There was literally nowhere else to go for me but up. God, even though I didn't know him very well back then, my love and close bond with my daughter, sheer determination, stubbornness, and that attitude of never quit, kept me alive and kept me pressing on and going forward. Quite literally, I was in a very bad, dark, depressed hole, and at that point, I didn't really care about anything that what would happen to me. But I knew I couldn't give up, I couldn't lay down, and I couldn't quit. What kind of an example would I have been for my daughter? Before all this happened, I was making great strides, accomplishing dreams and goals, doing a job I loved, making pretty good money, had already built 3 houses in my life at that time, traded cars or trucks every few years. I was your average blue-collar working mother and wife with a white picket fence and daughter and most everything I wanted in life. But just like that, folks, in the snap of your finger, I lost every bit of those material things. So that is one of my many testimonies in life where I can honestly say, without God, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I am so grateful for all of my life experiences, no matter whether they are good or bad, because they have been true character builders, and it has given me the opportunity many years later to be a testament to God's goodness, what He did in my life, and what He can do in your life. It gives me a little bit of wisdom to share with all of you out there how to live a better life. Folks, if by sharing my testimony, I can save even one of you from going down the path that I did, then that is my reward. I learned a valuable and priceless lesson from that one poor choice. I learned that you can live on a whole lot less than you think you can. You don't have to fight the rat race trying to be or do better at everything, materialistically and financially speaking. I used to be that person. Here is how I think of that now, as I'm older. Imagine you are on a hamster wheel, and you are running as fast as you can, but you never get off the hamster wheel. And no matter how fast you run or your little legs carry you, you still cannot run fast enough. You'll always be in the same place, spinning the wheel, no matter how fast you go. So for those of you that are out there laboring yourselves to death, quite literally, to get ahead enough to buy all of those things you think you must have to fill something in your life, folks, there is a very, very fine line between gluttony and priority. Given my own experience in life, God doesn't want you to be just the hamster on the wheel. God wants you to enjoy your life, have peace in your life, no matter the circumstances that are going on in your life. God wants you to prosper and have abundance, but not at the cost of your soul. I hope I have not offended anyone with my bluntness. It is only my own personal opinion, for whatever that is worth. Folks, this may come as a shock to some of you, but the devil is planting seeds into your head about needing new and needing more. He knows your weakness, and he knows how to wrap those into such pretty little packages that are so tempting and so tantalizing to make you fall for his lies. The only true things that you need in this life are God, shelter, food, transportation, and enough money to take care of your basic needs. That's it, folks. You don't need the best, or the smartest, or whatever, or the newest. You don't need all that stuff. All you need in this life to survive is God, shelter, food, transportation, and enough to take care of your basic needs. All that other stuff is a luxury, a want, and not a need. Sometimes our own gluttony can have disastrous consequences in other areas of our life. We all struggle with our priorities, but there are some very important priorities out there that we should never forget. These priorities give us far better rewards here on earth and later in heaven. The priorities that I'm about to share with you is where you find the real spiritual mind and soul, peace and joy, that far exceeds anything this world has to offer us. Folks, at the end of our life, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, at the end of our life, the grave is the exact same size as all of our fellow brothers and sisters, no matter how many things you have acquired over your lifetime. We can't take any of that with us when we die. So with that being said, why don't we take heed to these verses in the Bible? In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. Or how about this one? Seek first the kingdom of God. Then our priorities will fall into place. In Romans 12:2, the Bible verse says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind." And here's another verse for you. I love this. In Luke 12:22-24, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, not about your body, what will you put on? For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, the birds. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" In the first chapter of 6 in Matthew, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness." So I believe this is the answer to the question that I asked you earlier. Have you ever been around someone who shone out more brilliantly than those other people around them? And why do you think that is? I believe that the answer to that is that the people who shine so bright and have that look of peace and joy, no matter what is going on in their world, those are the ones that have God in their heart. God is the difference. God tells us in the Bible, in Proverbs of the New Living Translation, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with the fools and get into trouble." Or in other translations, the last part says, "Following fools will cause you to suffer harm." Or, "But you hurt yourself by hanging around with fools." Or, "The companion of fools will be destroyed." How many of you have found yourself in the wrong crowd? What did you do? How did that sort of influence in your life affect your life? How did it change the way you thought or you behaved? No matter how much you might think that it's not important the sort of people you hang out with, or that being with the wrong crowd won't affect you because you have free will, and you can choose not to follow the crowd at any time you want, you are falling into Satan's trap of lies. You are already in the web of deceit and you don't even recognize it. You may think I'm talking nonsense, but it is true, folks, that you do start to behave like the people you choose to hang out with the most. That is why it is so very important, in order for you to enjoy peace, life, harmony, that you be very, very careful who you occupy your time with. Live your life well, folks. You only have one life, and each of our days are numbered. Hang out with the people you love. Hang out with the people that lift you up and encourage you. Hang out with those that make you laugh. Hang out with people who really and truly care about you. Do whatever it takes to keep you in peace. Everywhere you go in this world, you can listen to the radio, hang around with certain friends, watch TV, play a video game, and you can be subjected to all kinds of evil things and darkness of the world. Such things are violence, vulgar language, inappropriate jokes, foul music, drugs, sex, etc. Is this a life you want to continue living or being a part of? Think about that. Living in peace, spiritually, heart, body, mind, and soul, is absolutely the key to living a better life. Folks, you have got to wake up every morning, armored with God's truth, and be vigilant, mindful, purposeful, disciplined in all areas of your mind. And it is a choice. How you get out of bed in the morning when you hit the floor with your feet, it is your choice for that day what you do and what you allow to come into your life. It's not something most of us do automatically every day. It takes work, practice, God, the thirst and desire to want to do what is right, to live a better life. Old habits do die hard. I promise you, it is worth all of your sacrifices and your time to finally get to a place in your life where you are truly at peace, and no one can take that from you unless you allow them to. Decide every morning before you get out of bed that you will be filled with a joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Decide to be unmovable, unshakable, no matter what happens that day. So, decide you will not let anything get in the way of having a good day, being joyful, and at spiritual peace within yourself. Decide today. Say to yourself, I want to be so full of Christ that when a mosquito bites me, he or she flies away singing, there is power in the blood. Woo! Amen. Man, I'm excited about that, aren't you? I'm going to stop here for now and I'm going to go to break. This first song, I really pondered whether to play it or not. It's so unusual for me to play something like this on the show. But after what I just said in the message, it got me to really feeling like doing some dancing. Dancing for Jesus. And so, if you've been sitting down, get up. Stretch your legs. And let's have a little fun with these next two upbeat songs. And listen to the lyrics carefully, folks. This should put some joy in your heart and a spring in your step.
You in the corner shaking in those boots. You know what? One for two. You got the shaking vibe, but the fear won't do. We always say that we have unspeakable joy. So let our feet do all the talking when our words fall short. We got.
folks. I took my own advice. I got up and started dancing, and I hit the wrong button. So let's do the happy dance. The happy dance. Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. I'm sorry about that mistake, honestly. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed the songs. If you are just tuning in, today's message is about living a better life. Today's message will be uploaded to my podcast page on shaziz.net a little bit later on. So feel free to listen to the rest of it later, or if you like what you have heard, share it with a friend. It's not too late to start living a better life. Here are a few things you might consider trying. Maybe you could try to meditate on God's Word, or rid yourself of one bad habit at a time. Ask God to help you. Get control of your negative mental chatter. Get control of what you allow into your life. Toxicity of any kind will defeat your purpose to live a better life, to find peace and joy. Focus on God and on loving who God created a little more every day. Love God, love yourself. You were no accident. You were perfectly made in your mother's womb. Expand your knowledge of God. Pray and get moving. Talk without action is nothing. Do you want to see change? Then get up and do something about it. Here are some other ways to start living the life you want. Stop overthinking. How many of us out there do that? Stop overthinking. Stop getting stuck in the past or in the future. You're not going in the past. If you want to look to the past, don't take camp there. Only look back long enough to see how far you've come. Stop setting a too high bar for happiness. Happiness can be found in everyday simple things, such as watching the clouds, sitting outdoors fishing or nature watching, hiking, visiting with a positive attitude friend, working on an old car, or even cleaning house. Life is what you make of it, no matter what you're doing. Stop comparing yourself to others. There is only one you. It would be so boring if we were all the same. God made each of us with a certain purpose in mind. No one can do what God purposed for you to do. You have your very own unique talents and gifts. If you don't already know what yours is, then I would suggest that you ask God to reveal it to you and share it with people. God doesn't want you to be the only one to enjoy your own talents and gifts. And here's a big one, folks. Slow down. If you just rush through this life, you miss a whole lot of the little things, such as watching your children grow and sharing fun and laughter with them, enjoying your spouse or your friends, enjoying sunrises and sunsets. How about the way an animal, how they play with one another, like squirrels and things like that? You miss out on a whole lot of really cool things that God put on this earth for your enjoyment. Once it becomes tomorrow, yesterday is in the past, and you can't ever get that moment back. All the I wish, shoulda, coulda, woulda will never rewind time for a do-over. I love this poem by Helen Keller. She says, "When one door of happiness closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one that has been opened for us." How sad, but how true. I'm going to give you some mental homework to think about this week. I'm not trying to make this hard, but I want you to ask yourself sometime this week, who are one or two people that are currently in your life that drag your thoughts down the most? Here's another one. What one or two sources, such as music, movies, books, blogs, what one or two sources have the biggest negative influence on you? Then after thinking about that, let's think about one or two people and one or two other sources that lift you up and make you feel happier about yourself. Make a decision to spend less time with these people and entertaining yourself with certain media. You may have to sacrifice some of your friends and media in order to live a better life. Follow the Lord. Nobody ever said that the things that are good for you are the easiest of things to acquire or accomplish. You are responsible for the path you choose for your life journey. Oftentimes, you will find yourself on the narrow path. The people are few, and the path is sometimes long and hard. It requires much discipline, but it is far more rewarding in the end. But the broad path is littered with people with some good intentions and some very bad intentions. It's the short path, the easy one, that it doesn't take much thought. You just do what feels good. God gives us free will, and He won't force anything on us. But choose to live your life with purpose, joy, peace, and positivity that only God can give you. I want to recommend a book to you, and it's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Christians. And even if you are not a Christian, it is still a very good read. Don't let the name of the book sway you away from reading it. It talks about how each of us have a specific set of character traits and habits that can be analyzed into 7 categories. We all need to examine our lives and be more dynamic. All of us have some of these habits developed in various ways, depending upon maturity, knowledge, commitment, and the like. But realize this, too, that not one single person out there will have all of these habits perfectly developed. The habits mentioned are only an ideal to strive for, a template to copy. Habits are actions that are ingrained in us. They become natural because of continued repetition. They are the things that we do without thinking about, that doesn't take effort. They just automatically happen. Effective is a word referring to the quality of our lives and service to others. So to be effective, you must first be productive in your life. So let's take a look at these habits real quick. Habit number one, knowledge empowers people to make right choices in more consistent ways. Habit number two, have an active prayer life, not once a day, not once a week, once a month, or only when you need something. Pray every day, all throughout the day. They don't have to be long, elaborate prayers. It can be a thank you, Jesus, for something that He's done for you. It can be, Lord, please give me safe traveling mercies. You know, something simple like that. It doesn't have to take you 15, 20 minutes a day. Habit 3. Set spiritual goals and actively work toward them. It is said that if you don't plan for success, you are planning to fail. Habit number 4. Effective people cultivate the talents in others. Proverbs 27:17 says that an iron sharpens an iron. So one man sharpens another. In order for things to stay effective, you must build others up because we all need one another. And habit number 5. Effective Christians take responsibility for their own souls and the souls of others, particularly the lost souls. Some people believe this life we live in is a game, or that faith is just a crutch for the weak. But I am here to tell you folks that life is most certainly not a game, and faith is not a crutch for the weak. Being effective means making a difference in people's lives. Habit number 6, effective Christians serve others. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28 that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others. Do you think any of us would be here today if God hadn't first made the ultimate sacrifice for us? Service is a character of selfless service to others for their good, their advantage, and their salvation. Service to others should not be considered an inconvenience that people feel they should bear in order to avoid guilt. Service is a life born out of love. And habit number 7, effective Christians remain focused on the kingdom. More people lose their way because they don't pay attention. Something else can destroy souls and things that all of us face each and every day also. Some things that you wouldn't even think about. These things do not seem dangerous, but they can make us lose focus on what is really important for our priorities. And these things can be things such as worry, debt, health, even family can make you lose your focus. Depends upon who the family is. Busyness, activities, emergencies, making it in life, looking good or vanity, or keeping up with your peers, outdoing people. When this happens, we all become more focused on these things, and they draw our attention and our energy away from what is truly important in life, therefore derailing our soul. If you want to experience true joy in your life and live a better life, do not let the cares of this world or the desire for riches to overwhelm your spiritual life. In fact, you should also continue to increase your involvement, devotion, your love, and your life to making it a better place for all of us, not just yourself, while also decreasing your involvement, devotion, love, and your life to this world. Whether you are a Christian or not, these things are still good practice, the right thing to do. I believe, folks, that the moral of this message for today is to stop thinking about yourself so much and what you stand to gain in this world, and start thinking about the treasures that you will lay up in heaven, about slowing down and enjoying the little moments and the memories that you make in life. Stop getting so overwhelmed by what is going wrong and be blessed by all the things that are going right. Find God's purpose for your life and live for God. There are so many verses in the Bible that I wish I had time to talk to you about. Trials and tribulations, just a whole bunch of things. I wish I had more time today to tell you more. But there's so many verses in this Bible that God always has your back. Even when you think no one is paying attention to your problems, God is there. And He is all that you need. He walks beside you all the while, never leaving nor forsaking you. As I said, I wish I had more time to share more of these verses with you today, because I really want each of you to have a real relationship with God. I want each of you to feel His incredible, unconditional love and to know, as I do, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is in control. He holds you in the palm of His hand. Though you may go through your own personal hell at times, you need not be afraid or anxious. And I stress that, folks. You need not be afraid or anxious because God is in control. And I want this so badly for all of you. And the reason that I say that, not only because I'm a Christian and that I'm in the business of trying to save souls too, but also because of my own past experience in life. You know, when I was younger, I did a lot of crazy things. And, you know, I wasn't always close to God. And I didn't always do the things that God wanted me to do. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that life was a whole lot harder back then. And it was a whole lot more stressful. And I want each and every one of you to feel the peace and the joy that I do today. And as I said before, it's not easy. It takes practice. I'm not perfect. I still mess up every day. But I'm a whole lot better now than I was 20 years ago. And God's still molding me. He's not done with me yet, and He's not done with you yet. And it's never too late to follow Him, to seek Him, to ask His help, to reveal something. It's never too late in your life, and you've not done anything so horrible that you cannot be forgiven. Because God throws all that stuff away as far as from the east to the west, the north to the south, and it's never spoke of again. And so people, just think about that. I know you think that it's easier said than done. But if you come to that place in your life that you can put full faith in God and lay all your burdens at His feet and don't pick them back up, don't continue to stress over anything, then the more you practice doing this, the more you will be confident and completely trusting that no matter what you face in life, there is nothing to worry about because God truly has got this in your life. He will not allow you to burn up in the fiery tribulations of your life. When you find that peace and that joy, you will live a better life. And as I said, folks, I speak from experience. When I look back at all the many years that I spent stressing out about my finances or if I was going to make it someplace on time, or being caught in the traffic, or being behind some farmer with a tractor. You know, when I think about all those times that I stressed out and I made myself sick, and there was not one thing that I can do to control those situations. If I had known what I know now, back then, I would have saved myself a whole lot of grief. So, let us all join in a closing prayer today, folks. Father, we humbly come before you, giving you every area of our mind, will, and emotions. We submit our desires to you, knowing that your ways are higher. Father, we ask that you put a hedge of protection around each of our eyes, our hearts, ears, minds, our very souls, so that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, we ask that you place a hedge of protection around our home and our families. Father, you are the great healer, our strength. You bring calm to our storms. You are a refuge, our strong tower, our rock. Lord, I thank you for guiding us and causing us to rise up to the next level in our area, in every area of our life. And with that, all the people said, Amen. Folks, until next week, same time, same place, I wish you all a very blessed week, and God bless each of you. These two closing songs will be God's Not Dead by Newsboys and Every Good Thing by The Afters.
Not dead.
day.